All right, take your Bibles, turn to 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. Tonight, we're beginning a new series about God's love. Boy, I've got about 15 or 20 of these lessons, but it keeps kind of growing, so I have no idea how long we're going to be here on this topic, but it just keeps going and keeps going and keeps going, and I want you to enjoy this. And we're going to read a healthy portion of chapter 4 tonight. We're going to start reading in verse 7, and we're going to read through the end of the chapter. So follow along silently, if you will. Beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us, and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed that the love that God hath to us, God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. Watch this. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear. Because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. Amen. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he's a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? Okay. This commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God loveth his brother also. Tonight, I want to talk to you about God's love. He first loved us. He first loved us. This is an exciting series to me. One of the things I enjoy teaching, preaching, and talking about most is God's love. I'm going to tell you, well, let me say this. God's love is the most amazing, most wonderful part of God. It really is. This world is bad enough, but can you imagine this world with the total absence of God's love? That would be hell, literally. I believe this is going to be an extremely exciting and profitable and practical Bible study for you. Now, let me say this right here. God is the source of all love. God is the source of all love. There is no love if God is not in it. Period. Bible says, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. It doesn't say love is from God. It says love is of God. Herein is love, that God loved us first. He is love. He is the source of all love. By the way, that is why we must be careful in our relationships with lost people. That's why God says that a Christian should not marry a lost person, because a lost person doesn't have the wherewithal to love because they don't love God. A saved person should not date a lost person because the lost person has no wherewithal to love.
That's right.
And I'm going to go ahead and say this. I'm not against being friends with people that are lost, but they shouldn't be your closest friends. Amen. They don't have the ability to love you as a real friend.
Right.
Now, God is the real source of all that is real love. If you added all the love that a mom has for a son and all the love that a son has for a mom, to all the love that a mom has for a daughter and all the love that a daughter has for a mom. Add to that all of the love that a dad has for a daughter and a daughter for a dad. Add to that all the love that a dad has for a son and that a son has for a dad. Add to that all the love a wife has for a husband, and to that all the love that a husband has for a wife. Add to that all the love that a brother has for a brother and a sister. And add to that all the love that a sister has for a brother and a sister. Not much. then add all the love a friend has for a friend. Add to that all the love that a pastor has for a church, that a church has for a pastor. Then multiply this by the tens of billions of people on the face of the earth, and you may have one drop of God's love. He is the source of it all. You add every love relationship together of the tens of billions of people that have been on the face of the earth throughout history, and it would be but a drop of God's love. God's love is so great. He is not only the source of it, He is love. Notice, it's not just that He's the source, He is love. As your pastor, over the next many weeks and months, I hate to tell you this, but I'm going to fail. There are not adequate words to describe God's love. There's also not adequate knowledge in mere mortals to understand God's love to the depth that it is. Therefore, I will fail. But I hope that we will be a little closer to understanding it than we were when we started. There's no way you could understand it all. There's no way you could understand the depth of it. But there's also no way I could describe it all. It's impossible. My dear friend, my hero, and my former pastor, Brother Hiles, he used to say this, "The greatest truth in all the world is that God loves me." Amen. I don't know about you, but if you can look to God and say, "God loves me," and it doesn't move you, I hope in a few weeks or months you'll be able to and understand that. I'd hear Brother Hiles say, "I long to be able to look to God and say, 'God, I love you,' and to hear him say, 'Jack, I love you.'" He said, "I let him call me Jack." you had to know Brother Hiles to really understand that one. but you have to understand, God loves us, period. And God is love. And let me say right here, I use Brother Hiles a lot for good reason. I don't know a man of God like him. Never knew one, and I've known a lot of them. And he was my mentor, he was my hero. I got to work with him, I got close to him, and I'm not slighting anybody else, but when somebody builds a bigger church that's run God's way, then I might talk about somebody else a little bit more. But until then, until somebody's running 20, 25, 30,000 people every week, seeing over 2 million people get saved, I think he's worth talking about. That's right. One day we were going to or from somewhere, I was driving him. I'd put many, many, many hours into a thought. He had a birthday coming, and I looked at him. I said, "Preacher," I said, "I got a birthday gift for you." He said, "I don't want it." I said, "Yes, you do." He said, "Craig, I don't want any gifts." I said, "Well, too bad. I got it for you anyway." He got a little testy with me. He just didn't like getting things. I said, "I didn't buy it. Did you shoot it?" I said, "Not yet." He just looked at me. I said, "Preacher," he said, I said, "you've said many times you wish when you die people would remember you as someone who loved." He said, "but he often said I'm going to go down a fighter and being known as a fighter instead of a lover." I said, "Brother Hiles, I'm going to give you a gift." I said, "as long as I have breath in my body, I will let the world know that Jack Hiles loved people." I said, I'll carry your memory on as somebody that knew how to love. And may I say this, anybody that was ever touched by the love of Jack Hiles, you were loved. You really were. I learned how to love through him. You love me because I learned from him. Now, I don't do it as well, but I learned to love because of that man. And to hear a man that was as hard preaching as he was, he could skin anybody. I've sat in national conferences and he was calling guys' names sitting in the auditorium. He said, I got you and you and you that can't get along with you and you and you. I mean, 7,000 people sitting in the auditorium, he's calling their names. Cross my heart and hope Brother Jim dies, you know. I'm not lying, man. He was rough. He could just skin you alive. But while he did it, he had tears running down his face. He said, I just want you all to get along and do what's right. They wouldn't take it from anybody else. He knew how to love. But may I say this? I've walked with God enough to know this. God's love's a whole lot greater. As much as I love preacher, the last words I ever said to him, the Friday that he went to the hospital. We were there for prayer meeting that morning. I had to ask him a question. He said, Craig, he said, I'm having a little trouble with my back. He said, could you help me with something? I said, what do you need, preacher? He said, I need my briefcase thrown up on my desk here. Well, if you saw his briefcase, you'd understand. His briefcase was as big as some of you ladies' cosmetic bags. I mean, it was huge. I picked it up and threw it on his desk and moved a few things for him. It wasn't that he was having troubles with his back. He'd had a heart attack on Tuesday. And in the next week and a half, 2 weeks, would have open heart surgery, have two valves replaced, and would code blue four times on the table and didn't ever wake up from surgery. Just massive heart attack. And had preached twice with it. And traveled from Mexico back to preach on Wednesday night. That Friday, I asked him my question. We talked, and I went to leave. I started away. I turned around. I said, preacher, I love you. And he looked back at me and he said, I love you too, Craig. Now, he would say I love you to a lot of people, but if he added your name to it, that was a little closer. You know, that was like a hug. And I'd gotten a few. Those are the last words I ever said to the man. I promised God that the men that I worked for, the last thing they ever heard me say would be, I love you. I hope the last words my parents hear me say if they die before I do is, I love you. I told my wife, I never leave her presence. I never talk to her on the phone. I don't think I've ever even hardly ever texted her without saying, I love you. I hope that the last words the people that know me ever hear me say are, I love you. I just want that. I want them to know I love them, but I want them to know that God loves them. Now, I've got to hurry. I'm going to give you four thoughts on the topic tonight. God first loved us. I want you to notice something. God loved us before we loved him. God loved us before we loved him. Look at 1 John chapter 4, verse number 19. The Bible says, we love him because he first loved us. Look back at verse number 10. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation of our sins. Wow. It's not that he loves us because we loved him. We love him because he loved us first.
Amen.
He loved us before we could love him. Did you know that a parent loves a child before a child can love you back?
That's right.
You love that child before it's born. You know that child has no ability to love you? You know when them puppies come at 3 a.m. squalling and squawking and causing grief and pain on the way out? Guess what? That infant has no way to actually love you. It doesn't. And honestly, it takes, I'm going to use this statement, it literally takes probably a year or more before that child can really show any love back. Now, that I know they can smile and they can and they can make noise and give you slobbery kisses and everything else, but they don't know what that means.
No.
It takes a year or two or sometimes even three before they really start loving back. So a parent loves a child before a child loves a parent. God loved first, as a parent does a baby, so that we can love back. Evan and Christine loved Wyatt before he was hatched. Now, there are days you want to send them back to where they came from. Amen? As my mama said, I brought you into this world, I can send you out. See, I've heard that more than once. A couple times I thought my dad was going to. Now, God doesn't suddenly love us just because we get saved. He loved us before we loved him.
Right.
He loved us before we were born. Did you know that? Well, let me keep going here. The Bible says he reigns on the just and the unjust. God provides everything for life for all humans, whether they're saved or lost, whether they even believe in God or not. God loves the heathen and the communist in Russia that hates God. God loves that person. God gives them the wherewithal to live, provides everything necessary. And he loves them even though that person does not love him back. When a couple is in love, they're not in love because they're blood related. You know, I ain't marrying my cousin. Yeah, I don't have a sister. That's why I said it. Now, when a couple meet, they have love stored inside of them, and they decide to whom they give it. I'll be honest with you, I don't like the term falling in love. Did you know if you fall, it's an accident?
Yep.
There's no such thing as really falling in love. You decide you're going to love. October 10th, 1980, none of your business, 1987, my wife and I had our first date. I went back to my room. I had page after page after page after page. I had probably 20 pages of notes on what to look for in a wife scripturally. I'd been taking notes for years in my own personal study. I went back to my room. I opened up that notebook. I tore out all those 20 pages, tore them up, threw them in the trash can, and said, I found the young lady I'm going to marry. And 11 months later, I put a ring on her finger. Say, how did you know? I decided she had met those things. She was the type of person God wanted me to be with. We enjoyed it, and I knew that day that she would be my wife. She didn't, but I did. Matter of fact, she was dating one of my friends a little bit at the time. And I worked with him. I just didn't give him a chance to ask her out anymore. Finally, about 2 weeks of that at work, he said, aren't you going to give me a chance? I said, you're too slow, dude. He said, I'm going to try. I said, have at it. I said, she's locked up for quite a while. Didn't work after that, amen? It was great. Now, you don't fall in love. You decide who you're going to love on purpose. When you get married, you join two families as one. When I married her, I gained family. I gained her mom and her dad and her sister and her brother. No. I love my sister-in-law. I'm just glad she lives in Texas. You know, I call her mom, mom. I call her dad, dad. You say, why? If we're one and that's her parents, they're also my parents. You say, well, they're not biologically. We'll get to that in a minute. Did you know you're not biologically God's either? You start your own part of both families, but you need to accept both sides of family. Everybody's got family they don't want to claim. You know, everybody's got that Uncle Festus or Aunt Gertrude or trying to think of names that nobody has anymore. You know, everybody's got somebody like that. Yeah. When my son and daughter-in-law were dating, no lie, crossed my heart. My wife's uncle, I won't tell you which one, he called my son Josh and said, "Who's this girl you're dating?" He said, "Well, it's Ruth Ann." He said, "Put her on the phone." He put the screws to her. She'd never met this guy. She didn't even know who he was. She was getting upset with the guy. She all of a sudden told Joshua, and Josh gets on the phone and says, "Thanks, Uncle Tim." He said, "Don't worry about it. It's just Uncle Tim." I was dying, you know. He laughs about it to this day. She's never met him. She doesn't want to meet him. I don't blame her at times, but yeah, everybody's got that kind of person in the family, you know. But just because you're not related doesn't mean you can't love. I love my mother-in-law as much as I love my mother. I told my mother-in-law years ago, "Mom, if you need to, you can move in. I'll help you any time you need." I promise you, I did. I mean, heart to heart with her. I said, "I'm here to take care of you. If the need ever comes, I will take care of you, whatever it takes." I don't owe it to her because she's my mom. But I do because she is my mom, because she and I are one. And because we're one, both of our families are one. And that's how it works. Now, I got to hurry up here. Ooh. Number two, you have to be born to love. You have to be born to love. Look at 1 John 4:7. "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God." Did you know if you're not born, you can't love? I don't mean this in a crude way, but I'll use something very personal. About a year and a half ago, Josh and Ruth Ann lost a baby. That baby has never loved its mom and dad or its grandparents. Now, we loved it when we found out, but it never loved anybody. Because it was never born. Had no wherewithal to love us. Because it was not born. Now, look at John chapter 8. I'm going to show you something here. This will rock your ship. All right. John chapter 8. Look at verse number 44. Oh, my soul, we got to hurry. Turn there quickly. John 8:44. "Ye are of your father the" who? "And the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it." Now, watch this. Every human being is born a what? Sinner. And we're a sinner because we're born of our father, the who?
Devil.
The devil. Every human is born of their father, the devil, because we have, do you know what the first sin of a child is? And the most prevalent sin of a child? Lying. Most often committed sin by a child is lying. Guaranteed. So we're all born in sin because of our father, the devil. Now watch this. Look at Romans chapter 8. I love this. About to shout. Romans chapter 8. This will encourage you. I just discourage you. Now I'm going to pump you back up. Amen. Now, all of us are born of our father, the devil, because we're all born in sin. Okay? We're all born in sin. Therefore, we're of our father, the devil. Look at Romans chapter 8, verse number 15. "For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear." Remember in 1 John 4, it says there is no fear in love, for perfect love casteth out fear. Watch this. "But ye have received the Spirit," capital S, "of" what?
Adoption.
Adoption, not birth. "Whereby we cry, Abba, Father." We get saved by the blood of Jesus Christ.
He was the only begotten Son of God, the only one born by God's blood. The rest of us, because of his blood, he is allowing us, when we get saved, to be adopted into the family of God.
Amen.
Whereby we can cry, Abba, Father. The word Abba it's a Hebrew word that means daddy. He becomes our daddy, father. We only get that by adoption. We get adopted into the family by salvation through the bloodline of Jesus. Everybody doing okay? It is a spiritual birth, not a physical birth. Our physical birth, we were born dead to sin because of our father, the devil. Now watch this. I love this. John chapter 3, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, that which is born of the spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto you, ye must be born again. Nicodemus said, how can I be born? Can I enter a second time into my mother's womb and be born? He said, That which is born of the flesh is flesh, that which is born of the spirit is spirit. So it is a spiritual birth, not a fleshly birth. But our flesh is born in sin by our father, the devil. Now, watch this. God accepts us into his family, even though we were all born in sin by our father, the devil. When we receive the blood of Jesus on our sin account, he takes that as an adoption, and he adopts us into the family of God. If God accepts us into his family, how much more should we, the family that we marry into, our church family, and God's family? This means a church can be a family. You know, I'm not blood related to any person in this room. I'm not blood related to her. Now, my mom and dad, if they were here, I could say I was blood related to. If my children were here, I could say that. But I am not blood related to anybody, but I am closer to most of you than anybody just about in my family. Say, why is that? Because we have the same Father, God.
That's good.
And we have that ability to love with a family love because we've all been adopted into the family of God by salvation, by the blood of Jesus Christ. Now, watch this. I got to hurry. Number three, you have to know God to love. Look at 1 John 4 again. Verse 7, Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God. And what's the next part? And
knoweth.
And knoweth God. Look at the verse 8. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. That means this. You can be born, but not love your parent. Just because you're born doesn't mean you love your mom or love your dad. Everybody doing okay?
Yes, sir.
Let me see if I can. My wife, I didn't ask her if I could do this, but I'm going to. Obviously, she was born. And I won't tell you how long ago. But she was born, but she's never met her biological dad. Never. Her mom and stepdad got married when she was, what, 4 or 5? 2? I don't remember. Yeah, 2 years old. I mean, she was little when that's the only dad she knows. It's dad. I looked 7 years to find this rascal that was her biological dad. It took me 7 years. I found him. She wanted to find him so that we could send soul winners to make sure he got saved. Lived in a distant state, won't even tell you what state. I knew a pastor about 45 minutes to an hour from there. He and somebody in his family went out, won this man, his present wife, and somebody else to the Lord that was there. They got saved. I was going to work it out for him to meet. We went and saw Brother Hiles. He said, Debbie, can you live the rest of your life without meeting him? I've lived this long, why not? He said, Craig, don't complicate everybody's life. He said, don't complicate life for your children. Don't complicate life for your in-laws. You're going to have to explain to your children what happened between this other relationship as they get older. He said, that could hurt your mother-in-law. He said, I wouldn't do it. He said, your whole goal is to find out that he got saved. You know he got saved. Drop it. So she did. No more contact. She's never met him. Now, wait a minute. That's her biological dad, but she doesn't know him to love him. You can be born and not love. Look at 1 John chapter 2. Look at verse number 3. This ought to be a verse that we underline and memorize. And hereby we do know that we know him. How? If we keep his commandments. Amen. Do you know how God says we know him? By obeying him.
That's right.
A child proves to its mom or dad, or to its teacher, to its preacher, to its leader, their love by their obedience. I used to tell my kids, you don't love me. Yes, I do. No, you don't. You disobeyed me. Well, I still love you. No, you don't. You disobeyed me. You hate me. No, I don't. You, according to the Bible, I go right to this verse. Oh, they hated that. Oh, they hated it. I don't hate you. Yes, you do. You disobeyed me. You disobeyed God. You hate God. No, I don't. Yes, you do. You didn't obey. God says you prove your love by obeying. You say, you're cruel. I'm cruel, but I wanted them to learn you show love by obedience. I want you to notice something. We know God by obeying him and obeying his commandments. Psalm 119, verse number 6. Remember when I talked through Psalm 119? One of the words for the word of God is the word what? Commandment. When we obey the Bible, we show him we love him. We know him by knowing his commandments. So the more we know this book, the more opportunity we have to love him. And to know him and to love him. Grown children don't have to obey. I might have to take this off the tape. You know, none of my three children have to obey me. They don't live under my roof. I have one that does for a few months a year now. But that's it. And honestly, she just turned 19, be 20 at her next birthday. She doesn't have to obey me. She's choosing to, and she's my children have chosen to honor their parents, thank God, but they don't have to. Just because you're their parent doesn't mean you have the right to tell them what to do the rest of their life. Don't take this the wrong way, but I'm almost 50 years old. My mom, I love my mom and dad, but my mom and dad are not going to tell me what to do.
Right.
If I sit down at my table and I don't want to eat peas, I'm not going to eat them. I don't care what they say. We might laugh about it. My dad might get upset about it, but I don't give a rip. You can eat them. I don't have to. And he can look at me, and I don't have to eat them off his table either anymore. Nah, 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 nah. He might say, do you want some? And I'll say, nope. And he can't make me eat them anymore. Now, wait a minute. Just because he's my dad, he's going to be 78 years old. I don't have to obey him. I'll try to honor him. I'll respect him. I'll treat him with respect. But I don't have to obey him, nor do your children, after they're grown. Now, wait a minute. I think the more respect there is each way, the more love is shown.
Right.
I really do. I may not always agree with what my children may do, but they may not tell me what they're doing, and they choose to live the right way around mom and dad out of respect. I think that's honorable. Everybody doing okay? Okay, hang in there. It's going to get tough here. Knowing God is comprised of the Bible, God speaking to us, and prayer, us speaking to him. Of church services, us learning the Bible, and prayer and soul winning, which is telling others about him. Do you know what the first thing my wife did after she got her ring when I proposed to her? Everybody in the world knew about it. And this was in the day before Facebook and cell phones. I mean, it went everywhere. I couldn't even get out of the parking lot that day without people telling me, oh, congratulations. How do you know? Oh, so-and-so. I mean, everybody knew. It was crazy. I mean, we didn't even have instant things on your phone to take pictures with. I mean, pictures had to be developed and film and everything else. But everybody knew. You say, why? Because everybody got told. That's what happens when you love somebody. You tell somebody, somebody loves me. Why is it so hard for us to tell others about Jesus?
That's right.
We love him. Why don't we share that love with everybody? And I got to hurry. Number four, and I'll quit with this. It's a shorter point. We show our love by loving others the way God loves us. Look at 1 John chapter 4, verse 11. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. Look at verse 20. If a man say, I love God and hate his brother, he's a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God loveth his brother also. Okay, everybody ready? Got your steel-toed boots on? Our love for God is not just expressed as a warm, squishy feeling, looking at God saying, God, I love you. It's expressed by how we treat every other person. Some Christians treat lost people better than they treat God's family, their brothers and sisters in Christ, who have mistreated them. Some of you are nicer to the bank teller than you are a brother in Christ because somebody said something nasty about you. My Bible says we're supposed to forgive a brother. You all know what it's like if you were growing up and had a sibling. Y'all could sit in the room and fight like cats and dogs. You go out somewhere and somebody say something about your brother or your sister and you're going to war for them. Now, 10 minutes ago, you were beating on them in the room, but now you're going to beat somebody else up for saying what you said a little while ago. Because only you are allowed to say it. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Why is it that we'll be kinder to lost people than we will save people? Can I tell you something? Why is it that if somebody messes up in the church, we want to excommunicate them and we want to write them off and never ever trust them again because, bless God, they sinned. No, their sin affected you. But may I say this, we're supposed to forgive them and love them anyway.
That's right. Amen.
That's why it's going to be a cold day where the booger man lives before somebody gets up in this church and has to tell everybody what they did wrong. None of your business. It's our business to love them. You know, God wants us to step up and love them first as he loved us. Did you know we're supposed to, if your child did wrong, you'd still love them?
Right. That's right.
Then why won't you forgive a brother and love them in spite of what they did wrong?
Right.
It doesn't say you have to fellowship with them a lot. It doesn't mean you go out to dinner every week. I have friends who have changed what they believe. I still love them, but I don't spend time with them.
Right.
But if I saw them or if I happen to speak to one of them, it'll be cordial, it'll be nice. I'm not going to talk about that which I know is going to cause confrontation.
Right.
Just recently, I was somewhere and crossed paths with somebody that really doesn't like my internal organs. I reached out, shook their hand, spoke cordially about them and their family, wished them a good day, went on. I can be a gentleman. I don't have to agree with them even. I've been in places where I've reached my hand out and people just walk right by me. And that's okay too.
True.
I did what I could do. I don't harbor that. Say, what do you do? I feel sorry for them. I got over it a long time ago. I didn't do anything anyway. And if I did, I asked God to forgive them and I'm trying to be kind. It's no big deal. Folks, can I tell you something? Why is it that we'll treat a lost person better than we will a saved person that makes a mistake? You know, aren't you glad that if you had to paddle your child once that you didn't throw him away and give him up to DHHR?
No.
Why do you want to do that spiritually? Christians sometimes want to live this Pharisaical life that you have to live a certain way, and if you affect my life, then you need to be thrown away and get out of here. No, you need to get right with God and have God's love and love them first.
Amen.
You say, well, you just don't understand what this person did. Huh, what did you do to Jesus?
That's right, amen.
What did you do to God? Not a one of us are perfect. You wouldn't want God to treat you that way, because right now you'd be on your way to hell with the attitude you got.
That's right.
I promise you, I can go to bed any day of the world because I have no bitterness right there to anybody for anything. None. Now, there are some people I'm not going to spend time with. I understand that. There are places and people that I used to associate with that I don't anymore because they changed. But it doesn't mean I hate them. And just because I don't spend time with somebody doesn't mean that I think they changed. Sometimes I'm too busy to do that kind of stuff. God wants us to step up and love them first. Huh. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he's a liar. He that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love a God who he didn't see?
Right.
If you can hate somebody that's got skin on them, how can you love somebody that you can't see?
Amen. That's right.
Well, I can. You're the biggest of liars, because God calls you a liar because you're lying to yourself.
That's right.
You know who the person is you lie most to? Yourself.
True.
You can convince yourself of anything, right or wrong, that you can do it and get away with it. It won't affect you. We love him because he first loved us. There is no fear in love. Do you know what? You don't have any fear loving God. Can I teach you something? Parents, your children need to respect you, but not fear that you're going to go off the deep end on them. Husbands and wives not fear being able to tell each other something.
Amen. That's right.
By the way, fear is an emotion. God gave us our emotions. I love my wife in an emotional way as well as a spiritual way. There shouldn't be fear. I shouldn't be afraid to say, I messed up. I did something stupid again. I shouldn't be afraid to say, I'm sorry. I didn't handle that real well, did I? I shouldn't have to live with it for the next 5 years. Do you remember when? And she doesn't do that, thank God. You say, why? Because I don't fear that. We work through it together. That's called perfect love. It doesn't say that it works out every time exactly the right way, but there's no fear in it. We ought not fear telling people we love what really is going on. I think we should do it tactfully so we don't hurt somebody. Live where I live. When you have to tell people you have a disease that's going to take your life, I don't think your loved one's going to make it. You're going to die soon. You ought to stand in a room and have to tell people those kind of things.
That's right.
It's not easy. But at the same time, you ought to do it in a loving way to where it's not so harsh. The average doctor has zero love because they're lost. They don't understand how to talk to people. I watch the most compassionate doctors, they're saved people. Guaranteed. Because they know how to love. They understand it. There is no love apart from God. And realize this, he loved you before you loved him. He loved us first. Hey, let's be more like God and love people first.
Right.
Yep. When we have visitors come through, we feel that love. We can love them before they ever get here. Wait a minute. When one of our people does something wrong, let's love them back. Let's not criticize them and gossip and run our tongues about them and talk bad about them and shun them and everything else. What a bunch of junk. He loved us first. We love him because he first loved us. Let's be first love people. Because he loved us first. Every head bowed, every eye closed. What an amazing truth tonight. If you can grasp this, it'll change your marriage.
It'll change your parenting. It'll change you as a child. It'll change you as a Christian, a friend. Every relationship you have in life can be changed by that one truth. He loved us first, and we love him because of that. Let's learn to love people first.